Kill us now.
Kill us now.
We are back, and it is Sunday, and it's a beautiful day.
It is. Oh, your thing fell.
My microphone is like a limp dick. It keeps like...
Oh, a limp dick. I thought you said Olympic.
No, it keeps dripping.
Do you want...
I'll just like bend down like that.
I was thinking, you want something to prop it up with?
No, it's okay. I'll just do like that.
Okay.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. So, let's see. What we got going on? Anything going on? Lots going on.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to say something, and it was like really awesome, and now I cannot remember to save my life. Your birthday was this weekend?
Yes, my birthday was yesterday.
35.
35. My kid's birthday is tomorrow.
35 years young. Your kid will be two.
Two.
I don't know why I thought three. Two. He's going to be two.
Oh, and you gave him a little fart machine, and that's all we've been hearing.
Do you know that thing is the coolest?
It is.
Because it has a remote with it. So you can hide the base somewhere and just click the fart thing. And I just laughed so hard. I was like, I got to get this for quick because that's funny. Okay. Oh, man, I wish I could remember what I was going to say. Ah! I don't know. Joseph D'Angelo
right?
Got convicted.
Got sentenced, yeah?
Yeah, sentenced. He did get sentenced. I don't remember the...
It got life without parole.
That's good. That's good.
Which, I mean, I feel like anything at this point is a life sentence. Have you seen the video of him in jail?
I've seen picture. Oh, in the cell?
In the cell,
no,
yeah.
I have not.
So there's a video. They released the videos because, you know, he's really meek and
frail
at trial. So they released the video of him inside the cell. And it's kind of a compilation.
Yeah.
But he's like climbing up on the...
It's an act.
Yeah.
It's an act. That's something I heard from the very beginning, like when he first was arrested, that he, you know, acted like a very healthy human being. And then the second he walks into the courtroom, he's like wheeled in a wheelchair and he looks all like frail and like he's on his deathbed.
Yeah.
It was just like a total act.
Yeah.
I guess he was trying to get sympathy.
Yeah.
I don't care what you look like after all that.
Yeah.
You could have a peg leg walking in there. I don't give a shit. You're still an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. What are we doing? Oh, we're going to do the game. Okay. So if y'all didn't listen to us last time, Renee created one of them fortune tellers that you played when you was in school, like them old ass, like folded note card things. And it's got written underneath the little tabs topics.
Yes.
So we're going to pick her topic. After that, I'm going to talk to you about Ward Weaver III.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard of Ward Weaver?
No.
So I hadn't either, but I came across it the other day. And Ward Weaver III, obviously, he's a murderer.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because his father was a murderer.
Oh, shit.
His father's father was a murderer. And his son, murderer. Like the whole family.
Wow.
It's fucking nuts. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
That makes me wonder about like...
It's crazy.
Yeah, like what do you do about that? Anyway.
I don't know.
Okay, pick a color.
I want black.
Black. Is that five?
Black
One,
like my
two,
heart.
One, two, three, four, five. What you
and
got?
And let's see, what did I say last time? Let's do Comic Sans.
Comic Sans.
You gotta spell it.
Okay. One, so Comicsans.
Futura, please.
What did I do there? Okay. Futura is one.
Number one.
Disco balls.
Disco balls. We're going to talk about disco balls. Like the design of disco balls?
Yeah. Just kind of. So it's the history of the disco ball.
Okay. I'm interested.
And the design of it and kind of...
I am interested.
How it came to be. And there's images. Let me pull it up. So I was listening how I came about this. Was it just two? One of my favorite podcasts is You're Wrong About.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were talking about the history of disco.
Okay.
And it kind of... they briefly talked about the disco ball and I was like, I'm gonna look into that.
Okay.
So we're going to find out how the disco ball was designed.
Is it designed by a female or a male? I'm interested. Who made it? I want it to be a
woman. So the first patent was filed in 1917. So women weren't around then. So
oh, that's right. They were non-existent.
Yeah. So it was a male.
They were like cattle.
Yeah.
1917. There were disco balls in 1917?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say 1970.
No. Okay. So.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. So before disco.
Okay.
The disco ball, which is the ball with the little mirrors, is called a myriad reflector.
A myriad reflector. Okay. Myriad reflector.
So the initial patent, which I have a picture of here.
Oh my gosh, let me see.
Bloop.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
Yeah. I love looking at old patents anyway. So well, I was like,
that's cool and fun. Awesome.
Yeah. So the patent basically was these curved mirrors on a curved surface.
Okay.
I think I have more information on that.
Curved mirror, curved surface.
Yeah. So the patents for curved faces and glass, ceramic or metal sections, so floor or wall tile, on a sphere.
Okay.
So the patent actually expired in 1934, because that's what they do. But it was filed by inventor Louis Bernard Woest.
Louis Bernard.
Yeah, and I'm pronouncing it Woest. W-O-E-S-T-E.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Woest. So Woest lived in Newport, Kentucky, and he invented this new way of rearranging these mirrors. And the whole purpose of it was for exhibition and theatrical purposes to create special effects.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of the main thing about it was having it rotate.
Okay.
So there's like a little hook on there and
well, because if it didn't rotate,
yeah, it just kind of,
I guess it would just
shine light.
Really doing, yeah.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have that like.
It's more fun if it moved around.
Yeah, that special effect. So he actually advertised this. Woest was part of Stevens and Woest, which was a light company.
Okay.
Like a. Why am I drawing a fucking, like, light fixtures?
Okay, like lamps and stuff.
Yes, lamps. That was the word I couldn't fucking.
Lamp? Lamps.
It's like, you know, like a lighting company. So he actually advertised the ball as, quote, newest novelty that will change a hall into a brilliant fairyland of flashing, changing, living colors.
I agree. Yeah. A fairyland?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll be honest, the only time I've ever actually seen a disco ball IRL, like in real life, is at a roller skating rink. I think that's it. Just the one.
So yeah, they became super popular in roller skating rinks actually in the 20s.
In the 20s?
Yeah. So they were like super big in the 20s.
When I think disco ball, I just think like boogie nights and stuff like that.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, this is totally a 70s
disco
thing.
Era. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it totally was a 20s.
Yeah. 1917 is when they got the patent.
So, there was like, I guess in the world of lighting and just I think in America in like the 1920s.
Yeah.
There were tons of expos and like companies would produce these brochures and like all these big catalogs with ads. And like, I remember seeing like UL, which is a UL listed, I think it's United Lighting or something.
Okay.
But it's on every like lamp or any sort of electricity thing. Like it's the standard. It's
UL?
Yeah. It's okay. UL listed means that it's at a certain.
I have to look now.
Yeah. At a certain standard. So, and it's a big process to go through. It's crazy. But I remember seeing ads for that in like old magazines. So you can see these old 1920 ads for this myriad reflector.
But it was called a myriad reflector. One called a, I guess it was a disco one.
Disco,
around,
It didn't exist
yet. So it was a myriad reflector.
A myriad reflector. And it would be like.
And I'm going to call it that now.
Yeah.
Next time I'm at a shindig at a party.
Be like,
I'm
I like.
Be like look at that myriad reflector. It is so nice. You're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Actually, in the 1942 Casablanca film, which I've never seen.
I've never seen it either.
Apparently, there's a flashback. And you can actually see a myriad reflector in this flashback of the 20s.
Okay. It's so, in there.
Yeah. So it was popular enough that in 42, when they made the film, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, we're going to go back to the 20s, we have to put a disco ball in there.
Wow. Or
a myriad reflector in there.
Huh.
Also in the 20s was kind of this, like, jazz was coming into play, and you got that roaring 20s, so dancing and all of that, kind of this grandiose
prohibition,
all of that
speakeasies.
So it kind of changes from this fun time, and then you got wartime, and then 50s, 60s, 70s becomes that another kind of high, let's all have some fun and some dance and roller skate rinks.
Yeah.
And so that's when it comes back.
So it's kind of like off the heels of a war.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, right? Because in the 20s was...
So the 20s was the beginning of World War One.
Yeah. And then so the 70s was like, was that Vietnam?
Yeah.
Everyone was like, we just want a party.
Yeah. We're like, we've been in war. And maybe since we've been in...
We just want to have a good time.
Maybe since we've... been in war, we have multiple wars that we're fighting for the majority of my lifetime.
Let's just bring back the myriad reflector.
Yeah,
guys.
Well, this is unrelated to this topic, but there's been there's somewhere someone talks about the correlation between ska music and the economy.
I don't have no idea what ska music is. Ska, S-K-A? Ska?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it's like punk with horns.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, there's a correlation between when the economy is good, people are happy, people listen to ska music.
People listen to punk with horns?
Punk with horns. Yeah. Like...
Like trombones and stuff.
Yeah.
Like do-do-do-do-do. Okay.
Yeah.
Ska music.
Ska music is the...
It makes you happy.
Yeah.
I've heard. I was just watching Vanderpump Rules before I came over here.
Okay.
Which is a show on Bravo. It's one of those reality TV shows. And one of the girls likes to do music. And she was in the recording booth. And it was like punky music. But this other guy came in and started playing his trombone to the music. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. Because I actually had never heard that before.
Yeah.
So it's funny you say that.
It's a whole.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Oh, I do know them.
Yes. Yeah. So back to the myriad reflector. So the 60s, 70s come around. Mm-hmm. Disco and this whole discotheque dance craze.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Ugh. So my mother grew up in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up, we listened to that disco music. She listened to a lot of disco. She also used to listen to, when I was younger, like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And which some of it's cool.
I love it.
But some of it I'm like, Mom, stop.
Yeah.
Cut the radio off. I can't.
There's some... Okay, so I see disco as... two different kind of variables. I see it as there's a very like soulful R&B quality to it.
Yeah. And then there's a very poppy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I get down with the soulful stuff.
Oh yeah. Curtis
the pop
Lowe.
Stuff.
Oh heck yeah.
Yeah. The poppy stuff can
like
go.
ABBA.
Well, no, I do kind of love ABBA. Oh!
No, freaking ABBA.
I can get down with some ABBA.
Oh man.
I can't do like the whole Mamma Mia soundtrack, but
Mamma Mia. No, neither me.
Yeah.
Neither me. Nope. Not my thing. Have you seen the movie? I think there's a movie.
There's a couple, I think. No. I've tried watching them and I'm just like, yeah, no, I can't do this.
It's not my thing.
I can listen to like a ABBA song.
But not a whole movie.
Yeah. I could do like one ABBA song maybe once a month.
Okay. One per month.
I once quoted ABBA in a cover letter of mine, and I did not get the job.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's a shame, because if I saw it, I'd been like, hired.
I know. I was like, someone's going to get this, and
definitely
they're going to like it.
They were not appreciative.
They did not. Okay. In Louisville, Kentucky, the company that was making these myriad reflectors basically was just one company kind of doing it. They are now known as Omega National Products. They actually produced 90% of the disco balls that were used during the disco era.
90%?
90%.
Well, I would think that was a pretty big company for the time.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Sounds like they had a monopoly on the disco ball world.
Yeah, they kind of did. I mean, I think it's a lot of work to do and to do right. And
like, I mean, yeah, it looks like a lot of work. I think for one, it's just hard to curve like mirror or glass.
So the little squares are just, they're not actually curved.
They're not curved. They're just so small. They're small enough to where.
Yeah.
It kind of, I got you. Okay.
So this is where we meet Yolanda Yo-Yo Baker.
Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is a disco ball maker.
Okay. Yolanda.
Yeah. So she works at Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And during the height of disco fever, everyone's buying these balls. Omega had 25 workers and each worker would make about 25 balls a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that they'd make about 160,000 disco balls a year.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. And Yo-Yo Baker, she was the lead person. She mm-hmm. oversaw everything. I think she worked in a different department. And then when disco balls like really were taking off, she was like, all right, let me go help over with that.
Yeah. Let the women do the work.
Let the women do the
work. Sit down, shut up, and let the women do the work.
Yeah.
Boom.
So then in the 90s, technology happened. Basically, our entire commerce kind of changed and mm-hmm. globalization happened. And China was able to make those disco balls for a lot cheaper.
Okay.
And a lot quicker. United States balls were less sought after.
I think they probably still are today.
Yeah.
Got it. Small balls.
And so in 2008 is the number that I saw. Omega makes about 300 per year.
Oh, that's so sad.
That is so sad.
So 300 per year because China's making the rest, or just no one's buying disco balls anymore?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, okay. No one's really buying disco balls. And if they are, they're going to buy them from China because they're cheaper.
Because they're cheaper.
And that's an option that we have now.
Yeah.
But Yolanda Baker is still there.
Today?
Yeah.
Like right now, she'll be there on Monday morning.
I mean, I don't know because she's also super old. I couldn't really find like...
She's going to be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I couldn't find like 2020 stats,
oh my
but
gosh,
like 2018, she was still there.
Yo-Yo, she is still working her ass off.
She's the only one.
Like in the whole company?
Making the disco balls, yeah. So they have moved on. Omega does like...
Oh, she's
any sort of home
furnishing. You're saying she's the only one at Omega that is still producing disco balls. Everyone else is doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, she's the only one in the United States making disco balls.
Oh, Yolanda.
Yeah.
She has a really good niche right now.
Yeah.
Like she's got it. She must enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. So I've got in here. In 2018, she celebrated her 50th anniversary at Omega.
Oh my gosh.
And she's the only employee out of every single person that was paid by Omega to work 50 consecutive years.
Right? To be at a company for that long says a lot. You gotta really, really enjoy your job.
Yeah.
I've never been at a place longer than a year and haven't in my brain been like, I've got to get the fuck out of here. I've never had that.
Yeah. So you know what she got for her 50th anniversary?
A disco ball.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that. I'm making these things every day. You gotta give me something else.
No, she didn't have one.
Oh my God, Yolanda, what are we gonna do with you? She didn't even have one?
She'd never, no. If that I was worked, her first disco ball.
Okay, if I was making myriad reflectors for 50 years, my entire house would be full of disco balls.
Right?
Oh, full. My walls would be like with the little mirror squares all over the place.
So Yolanda really is the unsung hero of this disco ball.
Yolanda!
So she is like the top professional expert in mirroring things.
Yeah.
So Some of the things that she's mirrored is one of Liberace's pianos.
Ooh. Okay, so she does more than just create disco balls. I mean, she is like a, it sounds like you're telling me she's like a set designer too.
No, she's just, she's super good at, she understands like how she needs to manipulate that. So the mirrors are these little squares that are put onto pieces of fabric.
Yeah.
And then they're, you know, glued.
Glued around the sphere.
Sphere, yeah. Yeah. So she's just really good at understanding where to place. She's just done it so long. She knows exactly where to lay that. She knows how to move herself to,
wow,
to get it to like turn the corner the way that it needs to.
I want to watch her do it.
Yeah, there's a couple of videos. There's been a lot of, there were a couple articles just solely on Yolanda Baker.
Yeah.
And yeah, it shows her doing it. And she's like, other people, she can tell what balls she's made. Because she's like, that line is perfectly straight. She's like, other people just, it curves down. Well, because
it's a circle.
Yeah.
It's hard to work on curved surfaces.
Yeah. We both tried laying vinyl onto curved surfaces.
It and it's sucks.
A fucking bitch.
It's never straight.
And no.
It just goes down all the time. Bloop. That, I bet it's so satisfying to sit there and just watch her like do whatever she does.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So some other things that she's mirrored is a 1962 Rolls Royce Phantom.
Ooh.
And a saddle.
A saddle?
A saddle.
Like for horse?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
So that was, she did one and she showed the, it was like for a, some sort of like food restaurant. I'm having a really hard time recalling words.
That's all right. It happens. It's because you're old now.
Yeah. I'm 35, so all the words are like...
you're going a little slower today because you're just a little older.
What's that word? Restaurant?
What's that word? Lamp? Oh, yes, it's lamp.
So she basically taught these people how to mirror the saddle and then gave them all the stuff, and then they went and they mirrored these saddles in all their restaurants.
Man, Yolanda, how awesome is that? She's like the queen of disco balls.
Well, she's also, I don't feel like she's been treated very well because...
Well, yeah, they just gave her a damn disco ball for 50 years of the company.
And so there's this whole like Liberace thing. They mirrored all these things for Liberace.
Yeah.
So he has this big party in Vegas. She didn't get to go. Other people went. Was she
not invited?
No. I don't know if she was. I don't know. But she didn't go. In my notes, it was like she didn't get to attend. Yeah.
Well, so. I, Yolanda, if you're listening, I am here for you. And I respect you and give you all the credit.
Yes.
We love you.
Anytime I see a mirrored reflector, I'll be like, about
Yolanda.
Yeah. Like, way to go, Miss Baker.
Way to go, Miss Baker.
Do you want some mirror ball facts?
Yeah, hit me.
Madonna used a 2-ton glitter ball.
2 tons?
Yeah, mirror ball.
Myriad reflector.
Myriad reflector, or mirror ball, or glitter ball. They have all different names. Or disco ball. Or just balls.
Just balls. Shiny balls.
So this 2-ton glitter ball was adorned with $2 million worth of Swarovski crystals. And she used this in her 2006 Confessions tour.
I'm sorry. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
It is ridiculous.
It is asinine. I'm sorry. When I hear, this is just me being on this pedestal that I'm on right now. I'm going to like a little soapbox. When I see people who are literally wearing clothes that is a month's worth of work for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. You're it. You're
definitely undervaluing it.
I just don't understand. Like, that ball could have probably fed thousands of kids. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, who needs a 2-ton ball with $2 million of fucking crystals on it?
Yeah.
Go fucking give a coat to a homeless person. I can't. It's just crazy. It's just, just blows my mind. I'm sure it was cool to look at. Couldn't it have been like fake crystals?
Right.
Does it have to be Swarovski crystals? I mean, I don't know. I guess it had to be.
Yeah.
But Donnie, you suck.
I just, my, this is probably not the most popular opinion, but I just don't like Madonna.
I mean, I don't have a problem with Madonna. I've just never been like, oh my God, Madonna's released a new song. I don't know. Madonna's never really been in my realm of music ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
There's a couple songs that I like.
I mean, it's just
she's in there with ABBA.
Madonna's like, I don't know. You know, never know what you're going to get with Madonna. Like, are you...
You know what you're always going to get with Madonna? Cultural appropriation.
What's that mean?
Where she appropriates other people's cultures.
She does do that.
Takes over.
It was like a whole year where she talked like she was from...
England. Yeah.
Like, bitch, you are from New York City. Stop it.
Okay, and then guess how big the largest disco ball... This is my last fact.
2 tons.
No, the Madonna. Large... No, so 33 feet and 10 inches.
33 feet.
In diameter.
What else? What can we compare 33 feet to? How big is a whale?
Oh, God, I don't know. I think it's bigger than 33 feet.
Is it like a whale-sized disco ball?
So, I believe...
Like a school bus. Oh, I got you.
It's smaller than a school bus.
Yeah, because a school bus is typically 40 feet. Yes. So... Small, a little bit smaller than a school bus.
Do you want to know one of the other options was school buses?
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one day we'll talk about school buses.
I used to drive one. That's why I know they're 40 feet.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, that is the myriad reflector.
Yo-yo.
Mirror ball.
The only
yo-yo baker.
I've ever seen one. I think when I was younger, I had one that I bought at Spencer's.
Yeah.
And it, I don't even remember. It was like sitting on a little stand and you could push a button and it would like start spinning or something.
Can I tell you? So we have been buying these magic candles. So it's a company called Magic and they do Disney themed candles.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we got one that was fog machine and we lit it and I walked into the bathroom because we keep the candles in the bathroom. So walked into the bathroom and I was like, oh my God, it transported me to Spencer's in the mall in the 90s.
Man.
Very specific, like, smell. And David's like, it doesn't really smell like a fog machine. He was like, and Spencer's doesn't really smell like a fog machine.
But it has like, a very specific...
And
Spencer's, when you said that, I smelled it.
Yeah.
Guys, and can you smell that? Can you smell Spencer's?
Spencer's in the mall in the 90s. And
just, yeah, man.
It's my favorite. I realized that, you know, people say cut grass. People say all this stuff.
I'm like,
that smell, Spencer's in the 90s in the mall, is my favorite
it's
smell.
It's like the smell of like
plastic. Because they had...
I was going to say plastic.
Because they had all that... You had all that inflatable furniture.
Yeah, like plastic and like a hint of like some kind of like incense.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit.
No, because they had the candles.
Yeah.
Do you remember all the like the pyramid candles? With all the different colors?
And then like just a hint of like the naughty sex stuff in the back.
Yes.
Do you remember the naughty sex
section?
Loved that section, but when I was younger, I'd like... I wanted to look at it, but I didn't want people to know that I was looking at it. Just like...
I
like
would
cut my eyes over there a little bit. I'm not looking.
I would look at the over the hill stuff, which was like there by it. I was like,
oh. Like, I'm really looking at this stuff. If I really want to look at that naked gal on that calendar right there.
So, yeah.
Oh, shit, man. Spencer's. Are they a thing
yeah,
anymore?
They're still around.
All right, I got
to
go.
They just...
Goodbye, I'm going to Spencer's.
They sell a lot of clothes.
Oh my God, they had all those like band graphic tees and just crazy. They had like lots of like piercing stuff.
Yeah,
like nose rings and tongue rings and all kinds of
Oh
my gosh, it was so
cool. Just remember that like glow in the dark section.
Oh my gosh.
All the like the black lights and then there was like all the posters.
In the back corner they had all those black lights on.
Yeah.
Oh my shit. That was so like, crazy, man.
This is what I want my room to be like.
Yeah.
And I tried. I tried very hard. I had a inflatable pink couch with cup holders.
Yeah.
That glow in the I had a black light and it would like glow.
Yeah. I had the inflatable pink chair.
Oh, okay.
So if we knew each other, we could have had a living room set.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
That's Myriad Reflector.
Myriad Reflector. Boop. Okay.
Yay. Tell me about murder.
I'm going to talk to you about a man named Ward Weaver III. There are lots of Ward Weavers in this story. I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
Really, we're going to talk about Ward Weaver III. Okay. And the disappearance of two young girls.
Okay.
This is a crazy story. So we're in Oregon City, Oregon. Okay. This all happens in Oregon.
I didn't know that was a place in Oregon.
Oregon City, man.
Yeah.
Oregon City, Oregon. So we're going to start off talking about Ashley Marie Pond.
Okay.
She was born on March 1st, 1989. So she's a year younger than moi.
Okay.
Okay. So her mother's name was Lori Davis, had Ashley when she was 16 years old,
mm-hmm.
which is super young. And for the first few years of Ashley's life, she lived with her mother and her mother's high school sweetheart, whose name was David Pond. Okay.
Okay.
So they were both 16, had a kid, living together, trying to do the best they can. And 5 years later is when Lori and David got married. So Ashley was described, she was very well behaved, easy child. She could entertain herself, which is really nice feature to having kids.
Mm-hmm.
I wish my child knew how to entertain herself. And she seemed to live a very normal life. As far as parents and everything, even though her parents were 16.
Yeah.
When, whatever. But when Ashley was 9, her mom divorced David Pond. So the divorce was kind of tumultuous. It wasn't great. And because he didn't want to pay child support, he was like, well, I'm going to take a paternity test. Just, because he was trying to be a dick.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out.
Oh, shit.
He was not the dad. Ooh. He was not you are not the father. So that sucked. And then it came out that this man named Wesley Rodger, R-O-E-T-T-G-E-R.
Okay.
Rodger. He was her biological father. So Ashley and her real dad started spending some time together.
Okay.
She'd go over there on the weekends. And during this time, people noticed that she started changing when she would come back from her dad's house. So she was, she started becoming bad tempered, sulky, confrontational. Soon she began to not go visit her dad anymore. She was telling everyone she didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And finally she told her mom that Wesley had been sexually abusing her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So her mom reported it. Mm-hmm. Her mom reported it in January of 2001. And he was actually indicted on 40 counts.
What?
Of rape and sexual abuse. 40.
So is that
I don't know
per time or is that per person?
I don't know where that number comes from. I couldn't figure out where that number came from, if he was doing it to multiple people or if this was just his daughter. I don't know.
That's fucked up.
But
either way.
Yeah. Mm. But 8 months later, charges were dropped.
Why?
The counts were dropped.
Mm.
We're going to go back to that. We're going to go back. He was released on probation, but he's hitting no jail time.
Yeah.
Okay. So during the following months, police were called to Lori Pond's apartment, which is Ashley's mom,
mm-hmm.
a couple different times because there was allegations that her mom was drunk and neglecting her and the kids.
So she had more kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. By April 2001, Ashley started spending a lot of time at the house of her friend. So her friend's name was Mallory Weaver.
Okay.
And she was the daughter of a man named Ward Weaver. So Ashley spent most of the first half of 2001 over at Ward's house. They would she had her home life sucked.
Yeah.
So it was almost like this house was more of a family than her own house. So she liked spending time over there.
Yeah.
In early spring, one of Ashley's teachers, Linda Verdon, saw Ward Weaver pull up in his car and Ashley was in the front seat. She saw them, they started hugging each other, kind of in a way that a 12-year-old and a grown man should not kind of be hugging.
Yeah.
So she kept watching and then she saw Ward and Ashley kiss on the lips. She was 12. Okay. She was 12 at the time.
Ooh.
The teacher reported it to the principal of the school.
Way to go. And I'm sure the teacher, the principal was like, well, you don't nothing. Need to get involved.
Nothing, nothing. So, continuing, that summer, Ashley went with the Weaver family on a 2-week summer vacation to California. And when Ashley returned, she was a completely different person. And her mom just kind of, you can tell. Her mom was like, something happened, something's wrong, like, what's going on? Ashley told her that Ward Weaver raped her on that trip. So her mom called the police and reported the rape. But because of some places I read, it was a mix-up of paperwork. Some places I read, it was just sloppy police work. It never got investigated.
Ugh.
Never.
This poor girl. Oh,
she
man.
She had, yeah. People are failing this child left and right. I mean, it's sad. So in August, Ashley confided in the teacher, Linda, who saw what happened, told her that Weaver was molesting her. And she also told her teacher that he told her, if you tell anyone, I'm going to testify against you in your father's rape trial. So he was blackmailing her.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
She's 12?
She's 12! So this grown man is blackmailing her into keeping her mouth shut. So once the accusations were made, she stopped going to Weaver's house. And this is really sad because... So she stopped going over to Weaver's house.
Yeah.
And Ashley was going around her school to her friends being like, do not go to this man's house. He is doing really bad stuff. Well... Mallory, which is Weaver's daughter, and the group of friends were like making fun of her, and like ostracizing her, telling everyone that she's a liar. I mean, sucks.
Yeah. So wait, was he not, he wasn't abusing his own child?
As far as I know,
yeah,
he never did anything to his own kids, to his own daughter.
I guess that's good.
Yeah. So, she was being bullied for the accusations when she was literally just trying to help these girls. I mean, like, please don't go to this guy's house.
Also, 12-year-old girls are, like, the worst humans
in
the world.
They're such assholes. When I was 12, I was the biggest asshole in the freaking planet. Yeah,
I could totally hear 12-year-old girls being like,
oh, my God.
She just wanted to sleep with my dad.
She just wanted to, yeah.
She's just lying. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, so... When Mallory, which is Ward's daughter, when she kind of got word of this, she went back and told her dad. She was like, Dad, everyone at school is saying that you did something to Ashley. Well, Ward just kind of like brushed it off and was like, oh, I never did anything to her. You know Ashley's the kind of girl that would lie about something like this. Never happened. I mean, he's trying to save his own ass. So throughout the following fall... Ashley's life kind of got back to normal. Her grades were improving. She was fighting less with her mother. Way to go. That's awesome. And some of her personality started coming back. So it seemed like she was like taking a turn and things were getting really good. Okay. In January 9th, 2002, Ashley was running late to school. It was a little after 8 a.m. and the bus was literally like right around the block. It was right there.
Yeah.
The walk from her, so she lived in an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So the walk from her apartment up to the hill was like a little less than 10 minutes. So she was a member of both. She was really involved. Like
in
swim
school.
Team. Yeah. Dance team. I don't just do nothing. Like that's awesome.
Well, it sounds like she didn't really have a good home life, so
didn't want to go home, so she was doing all this stuff. And on that day, she was looking forward to a dance practice after school, so her mom didn't expect her to be back at home until like 6:15. But she never came home, so her mom called the school, and the school told her that Lori had not been there that whole entire day. Lori called the police and reported her daughter missing, and she told the police that none of Ashley's clothes or belongings were missing and that she would not have ran away. And of course, you know, they're like, oh, she probably ran away, like, just give it time. That enrages me.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if something happens to your kid and you go to the people that you want to do something and they're just like, we can't do anything right now?
Yeah, I think they need to, like...
I mean, I know there probably are some cases where it's like,
yeah,
and they come back, but I feel like at first you should treat everyone like they just got abducted.
Yeah.
And then you can rule it out once you find them.
Yeah.
But to do it the opposite way, that's how freaking kids die.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about the system. Anyway.
Yeah, it seems like there's a obvious problem and they just need to rework it and find a better solution.
Yes. Okay, so detectives learned, so they started, I guess at some point, they were like, all right, let's do some investigation here. Mm-hmm. So detectives learned from Ashley's classmates that she never even got on the school bus. They canvassed the neighborhoods, the surrounding woods. They searched Ashley's internet activity. And they ran a background check on her father, but they found no evidence, no leads, nothing. Police asked her mom, Lori, do you know anyone that would have wanted to hurt her? And her mom was like, yeah, Ward Weaver. Like, you gotta look into this guy.
Yeah.
Which, if they would have fucking done their job in the first place, this situation probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
If they would have not lost the paperwork the first time she reported this incident. But anyway. Investigators talked to Ward, and he was very compliant. He was very believable, and he said he thought she probably ran away because she had a bad home life and she was a troubled child. So police just crossed him off the list. He sounds like a really honest guy. So we're going to just cross him off the list.
He's a middle-aged white man. We can trust him.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't commit crimes.
So meanwhile, 13-year-old Miranda Gaddis, who was Ashley Pond's really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
They were also dance teammates and neighbors. They lived in the same apartment complex. Also found herself involved in this investigation. On March 8th in 2002, Miranda's mom, Michelle Duffy, she left for work at 7:30 in the morning. Authorities believe that Miranda left around 8. She walked up that same hill to the school bus.
Mm-hmm.
At around 1:20 p.m., Miranda's older sister called their mom to tell her that Miranda had not been at school the whole entire day.
Oh, shit.
Miss Duffy, so her mom, called the school and found out that, Miranda, she was absent the whole day. She never showed up. So, Miranda was active on the dance team, so the same dance team that Ashley was on, and had been preparing for a special performance. The performance was supposed to be a part of an event that had been planned to raise money for a reward fund for her friend Miranda's, for her friend Ashley Pond. So Ashley disappeared.
Oh, so it wasn't the same day?
No.
No.
Ashley disappeared. 2 months later, Miranda disappeared.
Oh, shit.
So she was about to be in a dance for her friend to help raise money to help find her. Yeah. Miranda Gaddis was also a sexual abuse survivor. Miranda was just, she was 6 in February of 1995 when her father, Jason Gaddis, was convicted of kidnapping and sexually assaulting 2 minor girls. In an article written by Jim Redden for the Portland Tribune, Miranda's younger sister, Mariah, recalls the day their father was arrested. And this is a quote. The police showed up and he grabbed Miranda and used her as a hostage, Mariah said. Yeah. He threatened to hurt her if the police didn't leave. Instead, they tackled him from behind and hauled him away. So, for all of his crimes against children, Jason Gaddis was sentenced to a grand total of 6 months in prison.
What the fuck? Oh, man.
But 54 years of post-release supervision, which I don't know what that means. What is post-release supervision? That's like parole.
Yeah, well...
So you got to check in like once or twice a month with your...
What's it called?
Is it house arrest?
No. Probation.
Probation. Okay, so 54 years of probation, whatever that means. You can still rape kids on probation. I'm pretty sure that happens.
Yeah, it's just a police officer can check up on you and says, hey,
it's just,
what you doing? Let me get a drug test.
This was 2001, so maybe it's different now, but
I don't think it is.
Men and women should get way more time for rape.
Yeah, it's a violent crime. It's a very violent crime, and it's treated as like a fucking, like, oh, I don't know. It's just not treated like a violent crime.
Yeah, which also brings me around to this term consensual sex.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. Okay.
Okay.
Sex is sex.
Yeah.
Non-consensual sex is rape.
Yeah.
So this whole like consensual sex thing.
Oh, yeah. It's just sex.
Me off.
It's sex and rape.
It's sex and rape. There's okay. There's no sex, non-consensual sex. No.
Yeah.
It's sex and rape.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't want to hear that fucking word.
Have you heard of, so can we take a little, the wet ass pussy? Have you heard about this? The song?
Are you looking for the wet ass pussy? Get a bucket and a mop full of sweat. Yes, I've heard WAP. I do too. I'm fucking here for it.
Yes. And I love that the internet is the Ben Shapiro guy. And
I love seeing people's reactions when they first hear it.
Yeah. Because
the lyrics are, when I first heard it, I was like, whoa, Cardi. Ooh. Like,
yeah.
I want you to hit that little thing is dangling in the back of my throat. I was like, oh, okay.
I love it.
But I do too.
But yeah, so that song coming out, I am surprised at how many people are really unfamiliar with the fact that a vagina naturally lubricates when you're aroused.
Well, that's part of the woman body. That's what happens.
And I'm like, are we so like, okay, so our culture is so ingrained, like rape culture, it's so deeply ingrained into our society that people don't understand that they think. I asked my mom the other day, she said that she was abused, she was raped when she was younger by a boyfriend,
yeah.
And she said that she had some responsibility in it.
No.
I was like, absolutely not. No.
No, you don't.
She was like, it happened to me once. Shame on me. I was like, no. No, no, no.
Well, you know, back then.
Yeah.
It was like, well, what were you wearing?
Yeah.
What were you saying? What were you doing?
I was like, if I walk out of my house naked right now, I could be butt ass naked in the middle of downtown. Does not give anyone any...
Exactly. Invitation. I should be able to walk down the street naked and not think, oh, I'm going to get raped right now. Shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But.
I wouldn't do that because of, like, my own.
My body is not naked, appropriate right now.
I would not feel confident being naked.
Exactly. But.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't matter if you're wearing short shorts or your thong sticking out, it doesn't mean you deserve to get raped.
Yeah. And the song, so the WAP song makes me realize that I think that there's a lot of people that are so used to forcing even their partners into sex that they
don't know what a wet pussy is.
Yeah.
Because they've never done that like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And you're not getting your girl into it and it's a dry ass pussy.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to be.
No.
It's not. It's natural. It's natural.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be when you get aroused.
Lubrication.
That's your natural lubrication.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I will say medication will dry up. But
oh yeah. But you know, you can get some KY, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyways, I just thought I would throw that out there. Just thought I would say that.
Yeah, thank you.
Non-consensual sex. All right.
Good point.
So, where did I go? Okay, yeah. 6 months in prison. Okay. So, this led to the breakup of the marriage, thank God, with Miranda's mother, Michelle, and the dirtbag.
Yeah.
So, Michelle got involved with another man. And his name was Brett Edward. Buckface. I don't know. His name's okay. Brett. So Brett, like Jason, liked to molest girls and would go on to sexually abuse Miranda and other of her friends. It's like, Jesus Louises.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Fuck? Like, how does one woman attract two sexual molesters? Are they just that prevalent out in our world today? Or is it just by chance? Like, it just seems crazy to me.
Well, so, I mean, I feel like there's probably a lot of, like, little things. Like, her mom probably doesn't attract the right type of people. Like, her mom is probably an attractor to...
She's just picking the wrong men.
Yeah. also, I think there's something to be said about, like, if you're used to a certain amount of abuse, you're gonna look for that abuse.
I get that. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's such a bad... I think people need to realize that when this abuse happens, it's hard for people to break away from it because that's how they...
Well, it's all they know.
Yeah.
If you grew up in that, then that's your normal. That's your sense of normalcy. So, as a result of the abuse Miranda had experienced by her father and the abuse that she had just experienced by her mom's boyfriend, she and her siblings were moved from the home and they were put into foster care for 18 months. And I found this little thing, which was really cool. So in the fifth grade, she wrote a really powerful letter that her teacher found. And in the letter, it said, people getting physically and sexually abused is a huge problem in the world, and it can kill people. She was in the fifth grade when she wrote this. Mm. I tried to find the rest of the letter, but I couldn't find it. But her teacher laminated it and sent it to this this group that dealt with kids being sexually abused. And it's actually, that letter's in their literature now to like help train people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
While she was in foster care, she received a lot of counseling and she learned how, and I read this and I, of course, this is me on my soapbox again, but it said she learned how to set firm and clear boundaries, which I think is so sad that a kid in fifth grade has to set boundaries with adult men.
Well, yes. Yeah, but it's really, it's fucked up.
It's sad that she has to do that, but I also do that with my four-year-old. Like, we have conversations regularly, and I tell my child, I am the only one, me and your dad are the only one that can touch you there.
Yeah.
If anyone else does that, and I look at her and said, what do you say? She said, I say no. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And I told her the other day, I said, if someone came up to you that you didn't know and said, hey, come with me, what do you say? She said, I scream. I said, yes.
Yeah.
I said, you can kick them. You can bite them. You do whatever you need to do. And she's four. And I'm trying to, I guess, help her set those boundaries, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's sad you have to do that, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. And also, I think our country as a whole, at least what I've experienced, is really lacking in sex education.
Yeah.
But I think that that also needs to be, first of all, I think sex education needs to start young I think such sex education isn't just intercourse.
The P and the V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that also not consensual, but, you know, how to understand if someone's manipulating you.
Yes.
I think that that needs to be.
Like a predator.
Yeah.
They're like prepping you. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And it can't, you can't rely on it to happen in the house because I think a high percentage, I don't know the number, so I'm not going to say it, but a high percentage of the sexual abuse
comes
from the house. So
are from family members.
Yeah. So you can't expect the family
to teach that.
Yeah. We need to be open to talking with kids about sex so they can say, like, hey, this person did this to me.
So they can know this is not okay.
Yeah.
This is what this is, and this shouldn't be happening to you. That's not okay. I agree 100%. Okay, so once Miranda went missing, now there's two girls in this town that are disappeared. So they call in the FBI at this point.
Good. This reminds me of It. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh.
Kids are going missing.
It's He's down there. It's Pennywise. No, this dude is like fucking Pennywise. He's a jerk. So they called in the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI put together that Ward had really close ties to both Ashley and Miranda and their families. So they're like, maybe this guy knows something. Side note, after both girls vanished, Ward Weaver told his son, I don't remember how, I think his son was 17 at the time. He said, I want you to dig this hole in my backyard because I'm going to put in a jacuzzi. So his son dug this hole.
Yeah.
And the next day it was filled with concrete. Okay. Just side note. We'll go back to that.
Okay.
Okay. So at this point, Ward Weaver was the main suspect, but he's not arrested. He's not arrested yet.
Okay.
But the media are like going crazy on this guy. And this story This story's crazy, but I'm going to tell you. So KATU television news reporter Anna Song conducted an interview with Weaver prior to his arrest, during which he stood on top of this concrete slab. Okay. So I watched this news interview. They were walking around the house. Ward was like, I didn't do anything. They walked outside, walked down this new concrete slab. They stood in the kitchen, and he even made a comment, and it made me so sick. I was like, oh, my God. The reporter asked a question, and then his response was, you couldn't even come to my house on the weekend and not step on a body, trying to say he had kids over there all the time. But it was just weird how he, it was just weird how he said that. And the reporter said, asked him about this slab of concrete, and he said, I'm putting in a jacuzzi. The last time I checked, that wasn't against the law. Okay. He had an interview with Good Morning America. Like, this is how big this case was.
Oh, wow.
It was huge. These two girls were missing. And Weaver commented, quote, I have no problem with him looking at me as a suspect. The problems are coming with what they're doing as far as questions that are being asked of my family. They're telling parents of my daughter's friends not to let their daughters spend the night because I'm a prime suspect. And their daughters might be next. So he's just mad now because
he can't have
his
girls at
his friends aren't coming over.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking like a real piece of work right now.
Yeah.
So Ashley's stepmother knew that Ward Weaver was involved. She was like, I know this asshole done something. So she drew a sign with a stake in it.
Yeah.
And she wrote on it, dig me up, and stuck it in his front yard right next to that concrete slab. Because she was like, yeah, something's going on.
Yeah.
August 13th, 2002. Ward Weaver called his son Francis and his son's 19-year-old girlfriend, told them to come over to help him move. Francis had to go to work, so he dropped off his girlfriend and he left. Right when he left, Weaver attacks the girl, raped her, and tried to strangle her.
His son's girlfriend?
His son's girlfriend. His son's 19-year-old girlfriend. So thankfully, she got free. She ran out of the house wearing nothing but a blue tarp. So he, like, stripped her clothes off, and I don't know where she got. I guess maybe she found the blue tarp and grabbed it and, like, just took off running.
Yeah.
So she waved down a motorist on South Beaver Creek Road and got a ride to the nearby Payless Shoes.
Why?
I don't know. That was a weird little info, but Payless is great. I don't know why they went to Payless.
I'd be like, could I go to the
maybe that was like the station? nearest, I don't know. Anyways,
yeah.
So after she runs out, Ward Weaver immediately jumps in his car and tries to take off. So he was packing because he was leaving.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I'm skipping town.
Let me rape someone super close to me before I go.
Exactly. The gig is up. Like, I got to get out of town. So the cops came because another motorist called. The cops came. They found him. They pulled him over and they arrested him.
Okay.
So he was arrested. Francis found out what his dad did to his girlfriend. So Francis called the cops and spilled the beans. So he called the police and told them that his father had been involved in the murders of Ashley and Miranda. 2 weeks later, investigators got a warrant to search the property. So it wasn't long before they found Miranda's body. She was in a storage shed.
She wasn't even in the concrete slab?
Well, why?
Okay.
We got another girl here.
I know.
She was found in a storage shed in a microwave box.
Ooh.
A box. Like, he had, like, squished her up and shoved her in a microwave box.
Those are small boxes.
She had, like, cords wrapped all around her, and she was really badly decomposed. She was in the freaking shed in the backyard.
What the fuck?
I don't know. The next day, they found Ashley Pond's body buried underneath the concrete slab that Ward said was for a jacuzzi. And she was shoved inside a 55-gallon drum underneath the concrete. So investigators noted that Ashley's body was not that badly decomposed, even though she was the first one that went missing. And they found out that it was because Ward kept her in a freezer. You know those, like, ice chest box freezers?
A deep freeze, yeah.
Yeah, deep freeze. Yeah, deep freeze. So he kept her in there.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Oh.
He kept her in there for a while. The news reporter that I told you that was walking around his house,
mm-hmm.
She was standing on Ashley's body in that interview.
Wow.
In that.
Yeah.
Standing on her body. So Weaver remained under arrest for the attempted rape of his son's girlfriend until October 2nd in 2002. And that's when he was indicted and charged with 6 counts of aggravated murder, 2 counts of abuse, 2 counts of abuse of a corpse in the second degree,
ooh,
1 count of sexual abuse in the first degree, 1 count of attempted rape in the second degree, 1 count of attempted aggravated murder, 1 count of first degree attempted rape, 1 count of sexual abuse in the first degree, 1 count of sexual abuse in the second degree. Did I just read this everything twice?
I don't know.
Sorry. It just seems like a lot of counts. It does. And 2 counts of sexual abuse in the third degree. So, okay. Asshole's going away.
Okay. Yeah.
In September 2004, Weaver pled guilty to 2 charges and no contest to the rest. A plea bargain allowed him to avoid the death penalty, and he was sentenced to life sentences without parole. So, great. So, okay. But now why? Okay?
Yeah.
Why? Well, no one really knew why until a couple years later. Because Ashley was going around telling everyone that he was raping her.
Yeah.
He murdered her. He did not, yeah. He didn't want her to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So he sat in his car and waited for Ashley to come to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
He got out of the car. He walked up to her at the bus stop and said, "Hey, Mallory," which is his daughter,
mm-hmm,
"she's inside. She's really upset. She's sad about something. Can you come and kind of make her feel better?" Because Ward's house was right next to the bus stop.
Okay.
So she was like, "Yeah, sure." So she walked in. And that's where he killed her. Yeah. He strangled her. And he raped her first and then strangled her. So what happened with Miranda? So I heard 2 different things.
Okay.
And I don't know which one is which. So in one case I heard it was just wrong place at the wrong time. He was a rapist and he was a murderer.
Yeah.
And he saw her walk to the bus stop and he was like, I'm going to rape her and kill her.
Yeah.
And he went up to her and said, "Hey, Ashley," who was her friend who'd been missing for 2 months, "Ashley's inside. She's like crying. There's something wrong with her. Do you want to go see what's going on?" And of course, she was like, "Well, yeah, let me go see my friend." So she walks inside and that's when everything happens.
Yeah.
The second thing was that I saw an interview with Miranda's older sister.
Okay.
Either older or younger. I can't really remember. Now I feel bad. And she said that Miranda, on her way to the school bus, saw Ward Weaver outside doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing. I don't know what that means, but she caught him doing something and that he killed her because of that, because he didn't want her to say anything.
Was he burying the body?
That's what I don't know. Like, he could have been moving Ashley at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
So in 2009, Miranda Gaddis's younger sister, Mariah, she actually went to visit Ward in prison on 2 separate occasions, which, good for her, because I don't know if I, like, if someone killed my sister, I don't know. I don't know if I could, like, look at that man. But she said, "I had to know what happened. It was the only way I could put it behind me." During the visits, Weaver admitted to murdering Pond and Gaddis with his bare hands and told Mariah that he had planned to murder her next.
Oh, shit.
How terrifying is that? Well, and that's the story. So
what's up with his...
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about all this other crap. I'm not going to go too much into detail because it's like a lot. It's like a buttload. But, so Ward Weaver III's dad.
Okay.
His name was Ward Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I know that kind of makes it a little confusing, but... Mm-hmm. So Ward Jr. Okay, so Ward III... He had no father figure because his dad kicked rocks when he was 3.
Okay.
Ward Jr. kicked rocks when he was 3. So Ward Weaver III.
The Everclear song, "My Daddy Left Me a Name" or something.
"My daddy gave me a name." That song?
And then he went away? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. So his mother, Agatha, divorced his father, Ward Weaver Jr., when he was 3.
Mm-hmm.
His childhood was never stable. His mother remarried a man named Vincent. His home life was shit. His stepdad drank a lot. Super violent. Ward took... So this is kind of interesting. Do you remember when I told you that Ward Weaver took Ashley on a vacation and she came back and she was like totally fucked up?
Yeah.
So Ward's stepdad took him on a trip when he was young. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he was a completely different child. Just like Ashley. Because his stepdad sexually abused him during this trip. Which is weird. It all comes around. Mm-hmm. And Ward Weaver III started torturing, this was so sad, torturing his younger stepbrother was terrified of dogs. Terrified of dogs. So he chained his younger brother to a tree. And right in front of the tree was a chained up dog who was like super vicious.
Oh.
And he was like barking and he just left his stepbrother there chained up to this tree. He was a freaking wackadoo. He also would shoot his sister with BB guns.
Wow.
We used to do that. But
yeah.
I think he was a little malicious when he was doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ward Weaver III's dad, Ward Weaver Jr., he was a piece of shit too. He actually murdered... I think he murdered more. I think he murdered three people. But two people that he murdered, Barbara Lavoy and Robert. I can't remember Robert's last name. But he was a long-haul trucker. Mm-hmm. He was, like, driving down the road, and he sees this car pulled over, and these two young kids were standing there because their car had broke down. Mm-hmm. So he was like, yeah, I'll give you a ride. Come on. So get in the car, get in the truck, driving down the road. And he, like, does this thing with his steering wheel, like, kind of jerks the wheel. Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, did you feel that? My load just shifted. So he pulls over and he looks at Robert. He said, come on, Robert, I need you to help me look what's going on with my trailer. And he's like, all right. So he gives Robert a flashlight and they're walking to the back. And he takes this like huge pole out of the back of the and just whacks him, bashes him in the head with it.
So weird.
Bashes him in the head, leaves him there,
mm-hmm.
gets back in the truck and looks at Barbara's like, you're coming with me and this is not going to be pleasant. So they go, he rapes her multiple times and he ends up killing her. So that was his dad. That was his dad. And then his dad's dad, so yeah. The original Ward Weaver Sr. So Ward Weaver Sr. and his wife met in a is there a nicer way to
brothel?
Say? Met in a brothel. Yeah. And he liked her so much that took her to Reno and married her.
Okay.
But, so Ward Sr. was sexually abusive toward his daughter. He was physically and sexually abusive to his son, which was Ward Weaver Jr. I'm so sorry. These Weavers are killing me. But the worst person in this family was the mom. So
okay.
The mom was super, super abusive to Ward Weaver. What Ward Weaver am I
we're,
on?
Junior?
Junior.
Her kid's Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she would bite Junior until he bled. Like Aww. If he did something bad, she would like just chomp down on him until he bled. She made him sleep in the bed with her until he was 18 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's all the Ward Weaver family. And I just read an article last night that Francis, he murdered someone. So now he's in prison for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Ward Weaver III's son. So it's like this continuous reign of terror.
Yeah.
This Ward Weaver. And the weird thing is that so Ward Weaver III had not even met his dad because his dad left when he was 3. So Ward Weaver reconnected with his dad, I think, when he was like 18.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, like he had didn't know his dad, so it wasn't like...
Yeah, it wasn't a learned... That nature versus nurture that wasn't... Yeah. I hope someone's studying them.
It would be...
You gotta take their brain.
Yeah, it would be... interesting to look at those brains to see, okay, is this something that is being passed along?
Like, yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Because...
it's super interesting.
I know. I mean, this could be like 3 parts talking about each one of the Ward Weavers because they're crazy. But anyway, that's the story of Ward Weaver III. He is a dick. And I'm going to show you a picture of him because I always think it's... maybe I don't have a picture of him.
Okay, so there needs to be a documentary about
Yeah, definitely.
Ward Weavers, and the title of it needs to be WW111. So World War III.
Oh, like, my God, that's so good.
Yeah.
So there is a, not really a documentary, but there is an ID special.
Okay.
So the ID channel has this kind of series called Killer Kin or something. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I wrote it down. Evil Kin.
Okay.
Season
Kin as in
K-I-N.
Okay.
Yeah. So season 3, episode 9, is about the Weaver.
Okay.
It's only like an hour, so you can't get too much into detail. Yeah. But so I'm going to show you a picture of the, so that's where she was found.
Aww.
That's where Miranda was found. So that's the little shed. And this picture really got me. Let's see. So there's a FBI briefing back here.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they told everyone that they had just connected. They just, what's that word when you're like, oh, we tested the remains and it is Ashley Pond's body.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. And these are her friends running away, like in complete hysterics.
Aww.
Her friends are like, I mean, it's sad. It was just a freaking sad situation. But, and another thing to say is that, like, I believe that Ward Weaver knew that these girls were, I mean, he did know that, he said he knew that they were sexually abused as a kid.
Yeah.
So it's just easy for him to prey on them because, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. This is a whole fucking thing. But anyway.
Yay.
Ward Weaver the third, man. What, you know? I don't know. Fucking Ward Weaver.
That's so interesting. Oh, man. I feel like, so true crime is taken, I mean, it's super popular. And I think a big part of it, especially with women, and it has been for forever. I mean, I have my love of true crime from my mom, who has it from her mom.
Okay.
And they just consume it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Like, my mom loves Poirot and Perry Mason and stuff like that. She can't handle the gore. And my grandma loves Law and Order.
And, oh, like, who does?
Yeah.
Hell no. I mean, hello. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I think that women are really drawn to it for preservation.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, like, understanding how this
How to protect yourself in a sense. And it's weird because your mom liked true crime and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My mom hated it.
Yeah.
Like, no one in my family liked it.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I got this fascination. Maybe in my past life I was like a detective or something. But, like, I mean, my mom used to let me watch Tales of the Crypt when I was like 2. Oh,
fucking,
which was,
love that show.
I remember being like 4 or 5 sitting on the bed on Sunday at like 9 o'clock at night watching Tales of the Crypt.
Well, like,
and my mom wouldn't even let me watch Power Rangers.
What?
Oh, she did not let me watch Power Rangers because it was too violent. She didn't want me to be violent, but she let me watch Tales of the Crypt. I guess she would rather me be a psycho than me be a tad bit on the aggressive side. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, because there was this whole, like, bubble in, like, the 90s where, like, I mean, Goosebumps was huge.
Oh, Goosebumps. I remember watching Goosebumps. Are You Afraid of the dark?
Yeah.
All those.
There was the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yep.
The illustrations on that are terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the new movie? I've got to see that new
movie. I need to see it.
I haven't seen it yet, though, but.
But it, like, gave me chills where I was like, ooh, it gave me that, like, scare that I had when I was little where it was just like, you're creepy looking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't come from, I just always just had this weird fascination with scary, murdery stuff. And I finally figured out what I was going to talk about at the beginning.
Yeah.
Can I say it real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the weirdest thing happened to me
yesterday.
And it was like me and my mom had some sort of like EPS going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. So I
ESP.
Am in... did I say EPS?
Yeah.
I'm like...
it's a file type.
You know you're a graphic designer when you actually... accidentally said EPS. Okay. Literally, I was thinking EP. Okay. ESP. EPS. Oh, God. Okay. Me and my mom had like
ESP.
Let's say it again. So, in this county that we live in and surrounding areas, like, sexual trafficking is a thing.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
People
but
get snatched up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. I was in the grocery store yesterday, and I was in the meat section, and I was looking at the ground beef, And this...
Where's this going? Sorry. Just
Okay. So my daughter was in the grocery cart.
Okay.
She's in there. I always have one hand on the cart.
Yeah.
Because my brain thinks weird.
Yeah, no. I get you.
One hand all the time. And I'm looking at the meat, and this man, this older gentleman, he walks right and gets really close to me. Like, he's in my bubble. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that.
Yeah, especially during a pandemic.
Yeah, and I instantly, you know how sometimes you just get a weird vibe off people?
Yeah.
And I instantly was like, I just feel unsafe around this guy. Like, he was just weird. Mm-hmm. So I walked off, and my mom calls me. Like, 20 seconds later, my mom calls me. And she said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm at the grocery store right now." She said, "Sarah Catherine, I just got this feeling like I needed to call you and let you know that you need to, like, be careful with Georgia. Don't let her go. Don't take your eyes off her, because people are snatching up kids out here." Is that not weird?
It is super weird.
It's so weird. I was like, "Yeah, Mom, I know. Whatever. You know me. You know, yeah. I ain't going with that." But it was just weird. It was just so weird. And then, so I got my stuff, and I'm going out into the parking lot, and I will, like... I won't put Georgia in the car and then go put my buggy up.
Okay.
Like, I'll take her out.
Yeah.
And put the buggy up, because I don't want her to be in the car by herself or whatever. Well, I was like, putting Georgia in the car, and then I look around, and this car's behind me totally blocking me in. Like, I couldn't get out if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And this lady, like, stuck her head out the window and was like, "Hey..." And Georgia was crying because she was pissed off about something.
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, your kid looks really upset right now." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, she'll be fine."
What the fuck?
And the lady's like, do you have $2? I'm like, "No, I don't have cash. Like, I don't have cash. Goodbye."
In a car saying this person?
Yeah, like, pulled up behind me. And I was like, "Okay, that's weird." Well, then I noticed there was a man to the left of the car, and he was just sitting in his car with the window rolled down staring at me. So then I'm thinking, okay, I have a car to the left of me, a car blocking behind me. Like, I'm stuck. I can't get out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what is about to happen right now. So I... all my friends know that I carry a taser around with me. So I grab my taser and I'm like, I want to fight to the fucking death if someone tries to pull some shit. But she eventually leaves, and the guy did make a comment, and he was like, "Oh, your kid, she's just looks so sad right now." And I'm like, "Yeah, bye." Shut the door. Like, I'm not going to make small talk with you. I'm like, "Yep." Put her in as fast as I could, shut the door, got in the truck, and, like, booked it. And it was just the weird, because my mom, like, called right before that. And, like,
yeah.
You know, it's just weird. Ugh. It's just weird.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got lots of thoughts on that sex trafficking thing. Yeah.
Well, because, okay, this is the thing. Sex trafficking
is, yeah.
When I hear sex trafficking, it should be called something else.
Yeah.
Because when I hear sex trafficking, I think of, like, the movies and, like, the women and, like
shipping containers.
These foreign countries. And there's, like, this, you know, have you ever seen that movie Taken? And Liam needs, okay, well, in, like, foreign countries, and they're taking these girls, and they're, like, you know, these men are, like, buying these girls offline. It doesn't have to be like that.
No.
It's not, like, people could just kind of push you into prostitution, and that's, like, a form of, you know.
Sex trafficking.
Yeah, yeah. And it's more than, I think, what people, it's more common, I think, because it's not just. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, so I think this is how I think of it. I think of sex trafficking, this quote sex trafficking stuff, is like a suitcase.
Yeah.
With a bunch of shit in it.
A bunch of shit in it.
And it's going to take a lot to unpack it.
Uh-huh.
I think it kind of falls into this global warming, just bad branding.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't taking things seriously because of it. It makes them think of something else.
Yeah.
Or they're not realizing this falls into that.
Yeah.
There's this whole kind of current, like, pedophilia is just like a condition that you're born with.
Ugh.
This kind of, like,
it's not like having blue eyes.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. I mean,
yeah. So it's weird, because I'm like, I don't know. I think it's just me. I feel like us as a society have been so groomed, like generations after generations after generations of normalizing pedophilia to the point that we don't even recognize it.
Yeah.
Like a 40-year-old man telling a 9-year-old girl that she's pretty and she's going to make some man very happy when she gets older.
Yeah.
Is disgusting.
Yeah.
But we're just like, oh, he's just being nice. And it's like, no, he's thinking about a 9-year-old sexually.
Yeah.
He's not saying, like, he's not like, I'm going to have sex with her, but he is sexually, he has sexualized a child.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And we think that that's just totally normal. And it's like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like the Britney Spears countdown until she's 18. That's pedophilia.
Yes, it is.
There were people that like, I mean, that was a national thing of like, when she's 18, she'll be legal.
No wonder why she lost her shit and shaved her head.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She was being groomed like that since she was a kid.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot in there that like, that people need to realize. People just, there's a lot of old people. Yeah. They're just like, oh, you're just being PC and you're just, you know, yeah, you're just, it's just not, that's back in my day, it wasn't an issue and you're just taking issue with everything. And it's like, no, people were abusing children behind closed doors and you just ignored it. And
Oh my God. It's just, remember that time I told you I was at Walmart? And a grown man came up to me. I was holding my daughter. I think she was 3.
Yeah.
Maybe even 2 at the time. And he kept on telling me how pretty my daughter was and how gorgeous my daughter was. And then asked me if I wanted to go to his car because he had a present for her. Are you insane?
Yeah.
No. I looked at him. I said, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Again, you don't have to be nice to anyone. No one said you had to be.
No.
Don't even be like, oh, no. Thank you. I looked at him. I said, get the fuck away from me. And I walked away.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
And so here's the thing where it's like, what can we do to demonize that? That was a moment where something super bad could have happened.
Oh, totally.
And like, totally. What do you do when you are doing the right thing by not engaging in that? But there's some people, especially around here, where it's like, oh, this old man is just not being
enough.
Nice.
It's not enough to not. First, we got to recognize what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Second, we have to hold other people accountable. Yes. It's not enough to just be like, oh, he's being nice. No, you look at them and you say what you said, inappropriate, disgusting. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Period. You're a pervert.
Yeah.
You're a pervert. Change your ways.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
You can say that. It's totally okay. No one's going to get upset. Well, they might, but fuck them.
Yeah. They're a pervert.
They're a pervert. So who cares? Anyways, that is our lesson for the day. Call people out on their bullshit. If you feel uncomfortable, it's okay to be like, dude, you're making, or girl, whoever, you're making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Back up.
I wish I could get better at that. I'd need to be better at that. There's so many times. Like the one time in the post office where this old lady was like asking me if I was going to have more children.
That's offensive. And
like taking, I was like, first of all, you're just some stranger in line. Yeah. I don't need to talk to you about my
sex
life. I
will literally never see you again.
Yeah.
Never. So what does it matter if I'm going to have kids or not?
And also, no, I don't need to talk to you about my sex life.
Get out of my uterus.
Get away. Out.
All right, guys. Just follow us on the things. Follow us on the things. You know, you know the spiel. Instagram, Twit, Facebook. We have a Gmail. Just Gmail us if you like. If you want to ask us a question. If you have something you want us to talk about. If you have a crazy design story with irrational customers, we'd love to hear it.
Please do.
killusnowpodcast@gmail.com.
I think there might be some merch out there.
There is merch. I've been trying to give away a free t-shirt for months now. No one wants my t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I think at some point I'm going to design a I am basically shirt.
Please do it. I will die.
With clip notes.
Oh my God, forget. I always forget our clit notes. Clit notes? Yeah. Okay. Let me get my clit notes here.
All right. So mine are Wikipedia. And then there was a great article on mental floss.
Oh, mental floss. I said dental floss.
No. What? On mental floss, that was about the Myriad Reflector. Patents.google.com. Mm-hmm. Oprah.com had a really...
Oprah?
Yeah, she had an article on Yolanda Baker. So.
Yes, she did. Women supporting women.
Yep. TheVintageNews.com. Got some info from there. I got a couple on here. Courier-Journal.com. Okay. Was also some more information on Yolanda Baker. And then GuinnessWorldRecords.com.
Sweet. All right, here we go. I got, there's an article on ThoughtCo.com by Charles Montaldo, and it's called Biography of Young Murder Victim Ashley Pond. And got some stuff on OregonLive.com. This article called Ward Weaver III Lived a Life of Cruelty and Rage Reported Raped Son's Fiance. I love titles of articles. They're just amazing. There was also... I didn't write down the website, which I feel bad for, but there's an article I read, A Murder Runs Through It, by Leslie Strawhut, which was really good. And then also the ID Channel thing I watched, Evil Kin, Season 3, Episode 9. It's called Lost Highway. If you want to watch it, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
The ID Channel. It was the best. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We love you. Bye.
Bye.